So we've been involved and engaged in a series that we're calling Musings on Momentum. Musings on Momentum. We explained that to muse is basically to meditate or to do a more reflective thinking process about something. And so what is it this morning and this month that we have been reflecting on, that we've been meditating on? The idea or the concept of momentum, that is what we've been talking about. And so momentum we defined last week, and as I told you, I said, we'll keep doing this because I want you to make sure that you understand and are on the same page that we're on there when we're talking about these terms. And as my good friend mentor, Pastor Cassandra Elliott, always says, definition gives direction to our conversation. Definition gives direction to our conversation. So if you're going to have a conversation, it's important that you both understand, you know, the words that you're using, the concepts that you're talking about, so you can literally be actually engaged in the same conversation rather than two different conversations going on. So we said that, good morning, Sister Sonia. She's back with us on Facebook this week. She was here in person last week. It was good to see you and glad to have you back on this morning digitally as well. We said that momentum is a property of a moving body. You got to be moving to even be talking about momentum. A stationary object has zero momentum. So we know already that when we talk about momentum, we're talking about going somewhere. Good morning, Sister Patricia. It's a body that has movement, and by virtue of its mass and motion, it has momentum. We said that momentum is, in fact, the product, a little math for you here, it's the product of the body's mass and its velocity or speed. So it's the mass of the thing times the speed of the thing that gives you momentum. You know how much momentum you have or don't have. And then the second definition that I really, really liked a lot is that momentum can be defined as the strength or force gained by motion or by a series of events. I love that last one. Because sometimes, it looks like you're not going anywhere. Sometimes it looks like things are not moving along. Sometimes it looks like your goal is not being reached or accomplished. But if you begin to check yourself, you'll see that this event happened, then that event happened, then that event happened. You made it through. God took you through. And you said, wait a minute, I'm not where I was. I am indeed moving forward. I may not have got there yet, but I have left. I love that. That's evangelist Andrew Womack that I pulled that from. He said, I may not have arrived, but I've left. And so I'm on my way. I'm picking up speed. I'm gaining momentum towards the goal. All right. And so I thought, you know, in fact, about we've seen these cartoons, no doubt, of the little snowball up at the top of the hill. A guy, takes a little snowball and begins to roll it down the hill. And you know what happens in the cartoon, of course, that it not only picks up speed, it's not only picking up velocity, but it's also picking up mass as it moves. Come on now. This is good to me already, y'all. As it is moving, it begins to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's picking up mass and speed. And so the momentum is huge. I want you to understand that you're not the same person that you were. The experiences that you have had have made you larger than you were. They have expanded who you were at one time. Yes, yes. Now, whether those experiences we designated as good or bad, they were experiences that you had and that God brought you through. How do I know he brought you through? You're still here. So he brought you through. And so you're not who you used to be. I think about Pastor Carol a couple of years ago. She said, hey, you know what? You said something to us in class one time about reading. And I want to read a couple of life-changing books this year, she said. I said, okay, we can help with that. And she said, maybe if you take me to the library or this or that. I said, oh, no, we ain't even got to do that. I said, I've got a couple of life-changing books for you. And so I lent her, I think, 5 or 6 books to begin with. Can I tell you that by the end of the year, the thing had gotten so good to her that she read like 30 books that year. She was not the same person that she was at the beginning of the year. Those experiences had expanded her. She had grown through that. And the experiences that we have, whether they are experiences out here in life or whether they are experiences taking in the Word of God, are experiences that expand who we are, that stretch our capacity. Lord have mercy. I don't even want to get into that one right now. That's a whole nother concept for a whole nother time. But God is stretching your capacity. You can do more than you thought you could do. You can go further than you thought you could go. You could take more than you thought you could take. Who am I preaching to this morning? Maybe just myself. But God has plans for you, and they're not little plans. They're not small plans. We oftentimes, I think, are guilty of thinking way too small. Way too small. And it hinders us, it hampers us from getting to where God intends for us to go and experiencing what God intends for us to experience. And so this morning, I want to, let me slow down a little bit, get myself all warm up here. I want to slow down and tell you that God has a plan for you. And it may seem that, yeah, we all are guilty of that, Sister Libby, thinking too small from time to time. But God has a plan for you. He has a destination for you. We're not just aimlessly wandering about. Paul said, I'm not one just boxing the air. I'm just shadow boxing. He said, I know what I'm doing. I've got a goal and a destination. And so on last week, we began to talk a bit about, well, actually, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about some practical ways to build momentum. Some practical ways to build both your mass, that is to get larger, to expand, and to pick up speed. That velocity part, y'all. Because momentum involves both mass and velocity, speed. We don't want to take, you know, to 2095 to get where we're going. Right. Now, most of us, I feel safe in saying, most of us will never see 2095. We're just not going to make it that far. But we do have today. We do have right now. And right now, God intends for you to begin to accelerate, to begin to pick up speed, to begin to move forward, to begin to experience momentum. And so we said on the very first week, right out the gate, that an important part of understanding this process of gaining momentum is that you need to, as the scripture admonishes us, as Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you need to give thanks in every situation, in everything, give thanks, because this is the will of God for you as a person who's in Christ Jesus. Now, for somebody else, hey, you know, do it however you feel you want to do it. But for those of us who name the name of Christ, for those of us who say we are indeed in Christ Jesus, we are blood-bought, blood-washed believers, I want you to understand this morning that it's God's will for you to be thankful in every situation. We made very clear, I hope, but perhaps it bears reiteration, that we're not talking about being thankful for every situation. Some stuff happens that we're just not thankful for. We're not happy that it happened. We don't appreciate it one little bit. But even in the midst of those situations, we remember who we are. This is about identity. There's a quick lesson right there, y'all. It's about identity. It's about knowing who you are. And as my brother, Pastor John Dixon, said, whose you are. If you don't know who you are and whose you are, you're in trouble. Because let me tell you a little something about life. My mom used to say all the time, life is so lifey. And it's so daily. It just keeps coming. And you never know exactly what's coming on a given day. You never know exactly what's going to happen. You're not prepared for all the experiences that are coming your way. Some of them going to make you very happy. You're going to be just joyful and happy and jubilant. Some of them, not so much. That right, Deacon Fred? Not so much. You're going to feel like, man, where did this come from? Feel like I've been hit by a ton of bricks. Grief and loss and disappointment will come your way. How do I know this? Well, two ways at least. One, by my own experience of a little thing called life. And also, Jesus himself said, in this life, you're going to have tribulations. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked that things don't always happen the way that you want them to. Things don't always go the direction that you had planned. But even in the midst of that, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, we are to be thankful to God. It's his will. And I suggested to you on last week that it is not only his will, but it is actually, Thanksgiving is actually a divine success strategy. You want to be successful? Here's one of the key components to success. Practice an attitude of gratitude. Practice being thankful in every situation. Not necessarily for every situation, but in every situation. Give thanks. And you will find yourself continuing to pick up momentum, continuing to pick up speed, continuing to move forward towards the destiny that God has designed for you. So I want to spend some time this morning talking about, yet another or maybe more of the same. And I promised you guys, last week, maybe the first week even, I don't know. I promised you guys we were going to Philippians 4. I know I did last week, but we're going to go there today. Amen. We're going to go there right now, right? While I still have time. We're going to go there right now while I still have time. Amen? That's right, Minister Tucker. We're practicing an attitude of gratitude. Yeah. So Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, and by extension to us, sends this word of the Lord. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And it's probably a familiar passage to you. But I want to suggest to you today that just like his letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, actually 16 through 18, you look at that whole passage, He tells them again, and that's one of his earliest letters. So he got this early on. He got hold of this secret early on, guys. He says, you need to be thankful. And you need to practice this attitude of gratitude. And so he says in Philippians 4 and verse 4, we're going to take our time a little bit here and walk through this thing. But I want you to understand, we're talking about some divine success strategies here, some divine strategies for gaining momentum, for moving forward towards your destiny. We're not just going somewhere aimless. We're not wandering around in the desert like the children of Israel did in circles. We're going somewhere. And to be clear about that, and to be clear about where you're going, you need to practice this thanksgiving, this attitude of gratitude, because it puts you in a place and a space where you can hear the voice of God, where you can follow his instructions, where you can follow his lead, as Pastor Clark says, just follow my lead. So that you don't feel like so many do in this day and time, and particularly in this pandemic, feeling like, well, it's just, you know, I'm not going anywhere. Nothing's happening. Just same old stuff, different day, same stuff. Going in circles. Going nowhere fast. Or even slow. Because for some, time seems to just stand still. I'm not even going to get into time today. Paul says, verse 4, this is Philippians 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Oh my goodness. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm a person who is very careful, and I suggest that you be as well. You know, you can take this advice or not, but for me, I'm very careful about the use of superlatives. What are you talking about, Mark? What's a superlative? A superlative is like always, never, anytime, every time. I'm careful about that because they don't often apply to the stuff we're talking about. We very oftentimes misuse them. Well, this always happens. No, it doesn't. Well, every time, no. Well, it never, hold on, wait a minute, what about that time? Well, that time, but it never, ever otherwise. You just negated what you just said. So when Paul, by the direction of Holy Spirit himself, is writing this letter, and he chooses to use a superlative, I think we need to pay extra special attention. He doesn't bite his tongue here as he says, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. Wow. Paul, that's kind of rough, man. That's kind of a tough lesson right there. That's just, you know, about five words too many right there. Rejoice in the Lord. I told you I'm going to take my time for a minute here. Let's break it down. Rejoice, first of all. In the Lord. Again, not necessarily because of the situation you're going through. They say, how are you so happy? Why are you still smiling, Fred? Well, it isn't about the situation I'm going through. I can tell you that for sure. Because the situation may not be anything to smile about. But I am in the Lord. Even while I'm going through the situation, I hope somebody hears me this morning. Even while I'm going through the situation, I'm yet in the Lord. Absolutely. And so I have not only the ability, but I have the directive. I have the instruction. I have the exhortation from God himself to rejoice. Yes, sir. Rejoice in me. Always, no matter what you're going through. Now listen, I told y'all, Paul uses a superlative here saying always. Now, as if that wasn't enough, He goes on in the next clause of verse number 4 and says, again I will say, rejoice. In case somehow you missed it on the first time I said it, in case somehow you missed rejoice always in the Lord, I'm going to say again, rejoice. I really need you to get this. I really need you to understand this, he says. I know you're going through some things. I know you got challenges. I know life keeps happening. But guess what? You're supposed to rejoice. You need to rejoice. Let me say it that way, in fact. You need to rejoice. You're designed for this. Being consistent is important, Sister Beth says. And not just up, down, sideways. I rejoice when I feel like it. Uh-oh, watch out for that one. Rejoice when something really great happens to me that I like a lot. Rejoice when the folks that I really like are around me. And only then, no. He says always, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Minister Tucker would tell you, hey, you're born for this. You're born for this. You are uniquely made with the capacity to rejoice in any situation. I'm telling y'all, I'm unveiling some secrets this morning, y'all. I'm telling you some success secrets this morning. I'm telling you how to get through the situation, but not only how to get through the situation, how to actually pick up momentum to accelerate. To move faster and more forcefully through the situation. Because guess what? Here's the opposite real quick. And we talked about this like all last month, okay? So I won't belabor the point too much. But the opposite of that is being stuck. You ain't going nowhere. You're stuck. We want to get unstuck, and not only unstuck, but we want to move forward, and we want to move forward forcefully at an accelerated pace with high momentum, with high impact, not just barely getting through. You know these Christians. Some of y'all know these Christians. Some of us have been that Christian. Uh-oh. How you doing? Oh, I'm making it. Really? You don't look like you're making it. Oh, you know, it's just a suffering way. It's just a struggle every day. And I just, man, okay. Let me back on up away from you, because you're starting to slow me down. Just being, come on. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. Uh-oh, wait a minute. What? How are you going to follow that up, Paul? How are you going to follow rejoice all the way up with and being gentle and so that everybody knows that you're gentle? And no. Listen, I'm going to give them peace of my mind. Listen, can I help you out right there? You may not have it to spare. Sorry. You may not have a piece of your mind to spare. You better hold on to all of it. Gentleness, one of the fruit of the Spirit. Let the gentleness of God in you be shown to all people. He says the Lord is near. I'm telling you, every phrase here, listen, I wish I had time. Every phrase here is important. Understand here that if you believe that God is out there somewhere far away, then you have this tendency then to feel like, well, I'm on my own. I got to make it the best way I can. Listen, I just told you, or Paul did, at the very beginning of this paragraph, that you're in the Lord. Right. Listen, if I'm in him, How close is he? That's as close as possible, isn't it? Huh?
Absolutely.
If the Spirit is in me, if the fruit of the Spirit is with him all the time and he's in me, then it is not a hard thing. Oh, don't get me started. We're going over Galatians 5 there, and I'm not trying to go there today, but y'all check it out sometimes. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. We love to talk about the fruit of the Spirit in such a way as to make it somewhere out there so hard. I'm trying to find peace and love and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Lord, that's self-control. I'm really looking for that, but I don't know where. Have you tried looking inside? Have you checked with the Holy Spirit? Who's in you? Because you're trying to produce something out. Lord, have mercy. I'm not trying to get off on this. Somebody needs to hear it, obviously, though. You're trying to produce something out here that is already in you. And no wonder you can't find it. You're looking for love in all the wrong places, girlfriend. Look inside to the Holy Spirit who is in you. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be made known to all men, because the Lord is near. He's right here. Don't forget this. Y'all thought he just like talking. Oh, the Lord is near. Now, listen, every word here has significance. You need to practice the presence of God. Brother Lawrence told us way back, 500 years ago. You need to practice the presence of God. You need to practice an awareness that he is near. Whatever situation you're going through, whatever experience you're having, we forget that he's right here. We have been theologized too oftentimes in churches and on TV that he's out there somewhere. I'm searching for, we use terms like this, I'm searching for the Lord. Well, he ain't lost.
Amen.
I'm trying to find Jesus. He right here. Closer than your next breath, Deacon. That's right. So practice an awareness that he's near. Verse 6. Uh-oh, here we go. I'm telling you, these are success secrets. These are divine success secrets for gaining momentum. For picking up and moving forward. These are real game changers, Deacon Fred says. Verse 6, be anxious for everything. Oh, what's that, First Lady? Oh, for nothing. Oh, wait a minute. That's a different way than I've been acting. I've been anxious about everything. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, the president tweeted 25 times today. Oh, my God. And he said, and then I turned on the news and the sky is falling and you're running around like Chicken Little. Afraid of everything, nervous about everything, high anxiety, got to be on medication. Listen, I'm not coming against medication. Take the pill if you need it until you can do better, until you get a grip. But I'm telling you, it's not his intention for you to be all doped up just so you can get through the day. Sorry if I burst somebody's bubble. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just trying to tell you what the Word of God says here. It says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, there he goes again with these superlatives. I wish, Paul, you would just give me a break sometimes and just let me just sit in my stuff sometimes and just be mad and just be obstinate and frustrated and procrastinative and all other stuff and worrisome and all this other stuff. But I don't get to do any of that, Paul, because you said in everything and always how come first in the church, you know, I mean, what? That's why I'm calling them secrets, y'all, because although they're right here in the text of Scripture, apparently we don't know that. Ouch. That's right, Beth. Take some happy campers. Get back in the Scripture. Apparently we don't get it. And so he that's why he had to say it twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Let's take a look at that. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. God bless you. Y'all ever had, maybe you don't like these, I do, but maybe y'all had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, somebody likes them out there. And you know, it's kind of hard to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with just peanut butter and jelly. What else you need?
Bread.
Oh! We need some bread. Can I tell you, just to help you understand, just to help you get a visual, maybe this will bless you a little bit, that prayer and supplication is the bread. And in between there, you got thanksgiving. That's that peanut butter jelly on the inside.
Yes,
you put them all together and you're going somewhere now, baby.
Yes,
he said that's how to let things be made known to God, with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Don't forget the thanksgiving. You just got some dry bread otherwise, y'all. Some of y'all wondering about your prayer life and why it ain't going nowhere and why it don't feel like, you know, the thing is going any further than the ceiling and why it's so dry. Well, I would pray, but it's just such a dry experience, praying and supplication. You forgot the Thanksgiving, bro. You need to spread that Thanksgiving on nice and thick in between the prayer and supplication. To rejoice, be thankful. Act like you're going to actually get what you're asking for. Act like you believe he's actually going to deliver. Act like you believe he's actually going to heal and save and set you free.
Right.
Help you with that bill. That loved one, that crazy relative. That insane co-worker of Paul. Act like he's going to actually do something about that. Can I help you out here real quick again? I'm meddling. I'm going to get up close to the camera and let you know I'm getting ready to meddle. Okay. You praying and doing supplication and thanking him because you believe he's going to really move for you here. And the thing he may move is you. The answer may be that he actually changes you. Sometimes it isn't the stuff around you, it's you and your response to the stuff around you. And if you would just change how you see things, the things would change that you see. Lord have mercy. I told y'all, this is good to me. Y'all don't even understand. This is my favorite time of the week. This is my favorite. 168 hours in the week. This is my favorite one right here. I love it. Love talking about the Lord. Love talking with y'all about the Lord. I love rejoicing in the Lord. I love giving away secrets, divine secrets. Divine secrets that are right here in the text.
Love receiving.
Amen. First Lady says she loves receiving them too. And I know she does because she's a person of the Word. What you need's right here in the Word of God. You know, you're trying to find it on CNN and Fox, MSNBC and NBC and CBS and ABC and MOUSC. It ain't out there. It's in the Word of God. All right, so get that sandwich right, y'all. Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. And he says, here's what's going to happen. Verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Quit trying to get your little finite mind around the peace of God. You can't comprehend it. You can't understand it. But here's the good news. You don't have to. You don't even need to understand. You just need to receive it. You know, some of us smart folk, you know, let me get my tie right so I can really look like a professor here. Some of us smart folk, you know, we don't want it unless we can understand it and explain it and quantify it and categorize it, put it in a box, break it down. Listen, if you say, here's $1 million, Mark, but, you know, I say, well, where'd it come from? What was the process used to print those bills? What kind of ink was used? What kind of paper was used to do that? Is the cut exactly right along each bill? Are they banded in groups of 25? Do you want this money or not? I mean, I would look at you crazy if I'm trying to give you this money and you asking all these insanely stupid questions. Can I just be crass and say stupid questions? Lord, I want your peace, but I need to understand exactly how to shut up and receive the peace of God. Shut up and receive the answer to your prayer. Go on and thank him in advance. Right? He says, listen, if you do what I'm instructing you to do here, if you follow my lead here on this, you'll experience the peace of God which passes all comprehension. Not only that, that peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Man, I tell you what, if he says in Christ one more time, I'm almost starting to pick up a theme here, Paul. All this is in Christ. So when I'm looking for it out there, no wonder I can't find it. No wonder I can't find peace out there. Love, joy, faithfulness, long-suffering, self-control. I'm looking for them out there. No, wrong answer. In here, in Christ, is where they're found. The peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Can I just Sister Libby said preach, Sister Sonia said teach. I'm trying to do the best I can here. I don't know which one it's Can I tell you though this morning? That we live in a day and a time, arguably, we live in a day and a time where hearts and minds are more trouble than at any other time we've seen.
Right.
I mean, it used to be, you hear about something going on somewhere else in the world, and you're like, all those poor starving children in Africa, Lord have mercy. Yeah. Oh, they got war over in Iraq, Lord have mercy. But when it came to your door, when the pandemic knocked on your door and said, hello, I'm here, and I ain't in no hurry to leave. I brought luggage. I'm going to be here for a minute. Stuff starts shutting down. Stuff you could just commonly do without even thinking about, you can't do. No. Oh, don't touch your face, Mark. Oh, wait a minute. What? I got an itch, right? Sanitize first. That'll drive you crazy. Everybody all masked up out here. Only reason I'm not wearing one because I'm up here about 20 feet away. As soon as I step down, I do have it, y'all. I do have it. But it'll drive you crazy if you let it. Or you can let your request be made known unto God through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, and receive the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and allow that peace to guard your heart and your mind. I'm glad you didn't leave that part out, because some of us are a little crazy otherwise. Your heart and your mind. Finally, brother, yeah, we're going to get there. 8 and 9, I got about 8 minutes to do these two verses. That's more than enough time. Finally, brethren and sistren, whatever's true. Uh-oh. What about that fake news? Stop, Mark. Stop. Keep reading. Whatever is honorable. Oh, Lord, I wish people in high places and big offices would read this part right here. Whatever is right. Lord. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I'm finding it hard to dwell on these things, though, when I got a 24-hour news cycle and I got CNN blasting all day long, except when I'm watching headline news, except when I'm watching Fox, except when I'm watching MSNBC to see if the Fox posts were telling the right stuff or if the fake news was over here and they said something different. So drain the swamp in your mind. Drain the swamp in your own heart, in your own head, in your own practices. Can I remind you, at the top of this section, Paul says, always, everything. And so when we switch that rejoice in the Lord off and turn on CNN always, Twitter always, Facebook always, they said, Mark, are you against CNN, Facebook, and Twitter? No. I'm against a steady diet of them, especially for the people of God. Your instruction, your direction, the secret to your success lies in the Word of God, not on the news channel. Some folks, would argue, and I wouldn't argue with them too heavily, that one of the hardest places to find stuff that is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and of good report and of excellence is on the news channel. They're telling me all the opposite stuff. So how am I even going to know this, by the way? We mentioned that all the fruit of the Spirit is through the Spirit himself. He is, Jesus said, the Spirit of truth. Yeah? And so how am I going to know truth? How am I going to know what's honorable, what's right, what's pure, what's lovely? Holy Spirit himself has the key to unlocking all of that. But you're not likely to find him at the news desk at MSNBC or at CNN or Fox. He broadcast in a little place called your heart. If you're listening, if you're rejoicing in the Lord always, if you're in every situation letting your request be made known, your supplication be known with thanksgiving to God, and you're experiencing the peace and the quiet of spirit as he begins to tell you, here's what's true, here's what's right, here's what's pure. Paul admonishes us to dwell on these things, to think on these things, to meditate on these things. Let your musings be on these things. He'll unlock it. That's right, minister. He'll unlock it for you. Finally, verse 9. The things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things. Uh-oh, wait a minute, Paul. Wait, whoa, hold up. Wait a minute. We were doing real good, Paul, till you got to practice. That sounds like work. And you know, if there's one thing we have an aversion to as Christians, if there's one thing we have an aversion to in the church, is work. Now, we're quick to tell you, through our miscalculations and theological wanderings, well, it's all about grace. Ain't no work. Let me help you out here. You're right, it is all about grace. That's how you do the work. That's how you're empowered to do the work. The work is to believe, Jesus said. You got to put this into practice because right now you are all kinds of other places. Listen, it doesn't take necessarily Holy Spirit or the Word of God long to find you where you are. But to get from where you are to where he wants you to be, that may involve a little practice. Why? Because as human beings, you know, we're creatures of habit. We've been doing this way so long for whatever reason. Maybe your favorite TV preacher said, this is how it works. So you've been doing it that way. Didn't bother, by the way, to check with the Word of God to see if that is true or not. You weren't like the Thessalonians and the Bereans. Said the Bereans were more noble, Paul said, than the Thessalonians, because they actually searched the scriptures to see if the stuff he was saying was true. I'm just taking your word for it. I got a Bible. 50 different versions. I got a Bible. I got it in paper. I got it online. I got it all kinds of ways. So why in the world would I not use it? Well, did I mention that whole work thing? Yeah, that's reading the scripture? Oh, man. Well, listen to the audio. That takes so much time. The guy reads so slow on there. Oh, but you were in front of the television, and you look at the time, and you're like, oh, my God. It's 11 o'clock and I got to go to work in the morning. I started watching the news at 6. Oh, messing with somebody. I don't know who. Maybe just me. Fact check, Sister Libby says. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Listen, it's 10 straight up. I'm going to quit. But I want you to know that God intends to take us somewhere. We're going somewhere. It's not all for naught. And you look around here in this auditorium and see a lot of empty chairs and this, that, and the other. And we're doing things differently. Don't let that fool you into thinking that God has changed his plan. Don't let that fool you or lull you into sleep That would be no more than the enemy would want. Stay vigilant, stay aware, stay moving forward. Because there is an after these things time coming. Don't even be lulled into the stuck position. Keep that car in gear. Keep moving forward. Let's gain momentum towards our destiny, towards our goal, towards where God is taking us. Amen. Is that all right? All right. Well, once again, this has been Transformation Hour here at Deliverance Temple Ministries. We thank all of you here in the auditorium and those who have joined us by Facebook Live and those who will watch the replay. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Stay in motion. Keep moving forward. Let's gain momentum. Amen? Amen. See you next week. Bye-bye.